How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Lillard at the top, guarded by Hayward. 48 seconds left in the quarter. Comes with a left-hand drive at Gobert. Blocked by Rudy. Picked up by Ingles. Dante's streaking down the right side. Ingles can't find him. Ingles stops for three. Fires, misses. Gobert sprints the floor, catches and dunks. Incredible!
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm back! It's Locked On Jazz for the 5th of April. The Jazz continue to put out remarkable performances. They notch win 48, and the playoff picture continues to dance with a home court advantage. Dante was fabulous. Gobert's play of the year. Quinn Snyder with some messages and telling quotes. It's a big edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum with you. Thanks for enduring Monday and Tuesday of no shows. Don't do that very often, but for those who don't know, I went out to watch my son compete in the U16 National Championships of Alpine Ski Racing in Sugarloaf, Maine. Huge thank you to the Jazz organization for allowing me to do that, and to Craig Bowlerjack for filling in on me on Sunday. A lot of you have been nice enough to ask how he performed. He did not, in his mind, ski very well, which is fine, frankly. He doesn't think he performed as well as he could have. So I'm not particularly worried about it. It was really cool to watch the best skiers in the country at that age and watch the best skiers just perform and kind of the awesomeness to it. The hill was bigger than probably anything my son's ever seen. The competition was certainly more than anything he's ever seen in his life. It's great. Probably doesn't seem like it from the outside. I'd like to believe I'm not a parent who's much more into the process and the experience and how it's going to help him when he's 42 years old, 45 years old, 52 years old, how it's going to make him a better father and husband and when he gets older than a athlete. I have very little expectation with my genetics that he's going to be a pro athlete and could probably someday give you a very revealing of the amount of access I've had to pro athletes of how much I'd actually really – not sure it's a life I really would, frankly, care for either of my children. Be totally honest with you. I think it's really hard. And I don't see a lot of really happy faces very often. And I really worry about, my kids would never be as incredible as our Jazz players. But I worry about them for the next 50 years of their lives after things like that. So that's a side note I wasn't planning to get into. But I just, so thank you for asking. It was a wonderful experience. It was really cool. Frankly, as I think those of you that are parents, when your child does not perform as well as he would like to, or she would like to, it's often better to be there than when they have a great day. So it was great to be there. Can't thank the organization enough. I'm really very thankful for it. All right. We got a bunch of stuff, to get to today. I want to nail it. I'm blown away by this team. I'm blown away by Quinn Snyder. I'm blown away by Gordon Hayward. I'm blown away by Rudy Gobert. I'm blown away by Joe Ingles. I'm blown away by Dennis Lindsay. That's not to say I'm not blown away by the other guys, but they have been in and out of the lineup at an alarming rate. There's been I think there's been a tremendous amount of things that have gone differently than we anticipated, maybe over optimism on our part. And yet this team is 48 wins. I'm not big into round numbers, but 50 would probably be cool. When they're healthy, they play at a 60 win pace. When they're crippled, they play at a 48 or a 40 plus 42 win pace, which tells you who they are. This all with, frankly, until recently, Dante having a less good season than we thought, Trey Lyles having a far less good season than we thought, Alec Burks never getting going. I mean, it's not like this has gone, frankly, this season has gone like absolute crap, and they're 48 and 30. The accolades and the awe and the feeling we should have toward this team should
you know, it's they're not going to be a finals team. They're not going to go down in history as one of the greatest teams we've ever had. We should admire this team, respect this team, and have an admiration for this team. Maybe very similar to what we do for the great 41-win team that came out of nowhere. There have been very few things that have gone right this year. We've played 13 games all year with our starting lineup. When we've had only one starter out, we're 32-13. That's a 60-win team. And yet, it's not like Rudy Gobert's been incredible. Gordon Hayward's been incredible. Joe Ingles has blown our mind. Dante Exum, not really. Trey Lyles, not at all. Alec Burks, not at all. It's not like every other guy just stepped up and got great. It's some collective body of fight, of energy, of culture. 32-13 when only one starter's out. Dennis Lindsay's credit. This team has been built remarkably well. With amazing depth, Shelvin Mack and Jeff Withey. I'm getting into the show without pins of the, across the world, but I'm so awed by what this group has done this year, and I hope everybody else is. I really do. I think we are. I think you can get into the internet world, and you can get into the negative vibe of Twitter, and frankly, I haven't heard very much of that. I just wonder whether the admiration is really there as it should be. We get so caught up in the search, and I'm doing it every day, the quest for four. Stop it! This is incredible. Absolutely mind-blowingly incredible. All right, we'll get to the show. It's brought to you by our friends at Murdoch Hyundai. Really appreciate Blake and those guys. I'm looking forward to lunch this week with them. They have done been great supporters of the program, which I couldn't be thankful enough for great faith in what we're doing in this podcast world, in this podcast forum, and they're really good people, and the Hyundai car I'm driving is just great. It would be better if I could find the car key, frankly. It would be really good right now if I could find the car keys to my Santa Fe that I put somewhere as I was running around like a crazy man before leaving to go to Sugarloaf, Maine, and have no idea where they are. And so I'm hoping I don't have to make a really embarrassing phone call to Blake and say, where are my car keys? Do you have another set of car keys? Because I have no idea. So, yeah, the search for car keys is one of on the to-do list as I make up 5 days' worth of work and stuff today. All right, I am multiple espressos in, kind of wacky, so let's get to it. And I'll tell you more about my Hyundai experience in a minute. But Sean McKenna is our pin across the world. He was born in, is put a pin in Napa, California, born and raised in Salt Lake, Utah, diehard Jazz fan from age 6. I can remember watching every game with my grandfather, as neither of my parents were into sports at all, and were totally obsessed by age 9 when Stockton hit the shot. Although John did scream at me after a soccer match I played in the age, in an at that, wait a sec. Although John did scream at me after a soccer match I played in at the age of 6 for approaching him, I never lost my passion for the team. Those stories are notorious. My fandom eventually drove me to pursue a job working for the Jazz as a cable page camera operator for one season under Jeremy Brunner, brilliant guy on our TV crew. It was a great experience. However, I ended up moving out of state to Napa, California. It's the first time I ever lived out of state and quickly realized I would not be able to watch the Jazz games that had become habitual over the years. I ordered League Pass to keep up with as much as I could, but luckily I found Locked On Jazz and have not missed a podcast since. I love my time in California, however, find it frustrating living surrounded by what I thought would be a large amount of bandwagon fans who cheered for whatever California team was doing best at the time. I'm now back in Salt Lake and pumped up for a long-awaited run to the playoffs. Thanks for all you do. Congratulations to your success with the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Sean McKenna, and he is our pin across the world. Send me yours at dlock09@gmail.com and tell me how you became a Jazz fan and where you're tuned in. All right, let's get to the show. I kind of opened it. I've already kind of done the open. I was so eager for it. I'm wowed. I'm really, really wowed by this group. And I thought Quinn Snyder, if you listen to Jazz Game Rewind or if you heard his, he had the killer quote of the year. And I've tried to talk about this a little bit. He finally just came out and said it. The burden, the burden, the drain, the fatigue, the mental strain on a bunch of these guys, when they wake up, as he said, they wake up every morning and wonder who their teammates are going to be that day. It's quite a statement from Quinn. Should have worn guys out. Should have had it so that some of these guys tapped out. Go through the years. We were the hot team coming in, right? We were the team that everybody was like, oh, they're going to be the hot team. You know who the hot team was last year? The hot team last year was the New Orleans Pelicans. And what happened to them? They got some injuries. And they went 30 and 52. But if you look at their injuries, Eric Gordon played 45 games. Okay, well, that's right. That's our George Hill. And Tyreke Evans went out and played 25 games. And Ryan Anderson played 66. And Drew Holiday played 65. And Anthony Davis played 61. That's what happened to us this year. Right? That's what's happened to us this year. And what did the New Orleans Pelicans do? The New Orleans Pelicans went 30 and 52. Right? What'd this Jazz team do? They're two games away from winning 50. I'm not big into the round number stuff, but because I think really, what's the difference between 49 and 50? It's the way I felt at the end of last year, too, if you recall, like missing the playoffs by one game. I still thought the season was a success just because there's some arbitrary number out there. But that's what happened. If you look through the years, every year there's this team, right? Every year there's this team. And every year they fall apart and they fade. It was the Phoenix Suns were the hot team 2 years ago. And then Goran Dragic plays and they have some things and they just kind of, they don't come together. And then they trade the world and they panic. Remember they'd made the run under Hornacek the year before and they finished 10th. That's what happens every single year. These teams go through these injuries and they crumble. And this team didn't crumble. It's really awesome. Truly, truly awesome. If you are a fan of a team because you want them to represent something to you in how they approach things and what they do and who they are and how they deal with resiliency or adversity and how they show resiliency, you should love this team. You should love this team. You should love Rudy Gobert more than any player ever, because last night, this symbolizes to me everything that Rudy Gobert is about. Last night, Dame Lillard drives to the basket. Rudy blocks the shot. Jazz go on a fast break the other way. Joe Ingles is leading the break. He stops, puts on the brakes. Everyone goes by him. He's wide open from three. Joe makes this shot all the time. He misses the shot. And Rudy Gobert has sprinted the floor, follow jam dunk. 98% of all centers in the NBA have blocked the shot. They've done their job. They're sitting on the other end resting so they can get ready for the next possession. Not Rudy Gobert. Gordon Hayward, you should love Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, while a bunch of other guys are hurt, I'm not saying it was not hurt, Gordon Hayward could have tapped out any of the last three games if he wanted to. I walked out of the locker room with Gordon Hayward in Sacramento. It was a long, slow, arduous, limping walk. Okay? He was not right. Yet he played Washington, didn't play very well, played against San Antonio, didn't play very well, took a bunch of heat about how crappy he was on national television with the spotlight on him. He didn't worry about whether he's going up against the best guy in the league and whether he might get his ass kicked or whether the opposing guy, he'd be mad, oh, if I'm not 100%, the opposing guy's going to really work me. None of that crap. He went out and played for his team and committed. And absolutely was terrific last night. He wasn't great against San Antonio, but he was there. And I'm at the point where I'm going to tip my hat to guys that are there every night. Joe Ingles. What has he done this year? Joe Ingles has played the 1, the 2, the 3, the 4. Last night, Joe Ingles played the point guard the entire game. Okay, Dante's getting a lot better, but he's getting better because we're not playing him with the point guard anymore. He is not playing the point guard well. Will he figure it out? Maybe. Maybe not, too, frankly. Okay? So he's playing the point guard. He's playing the point guard well. Actually, he's playing the shooting guard well. But Joe Ingles is guarding C.J. McCollum last night. He's playing the power forward at times. He's playing the point guard at times. He's allowing you to switch. He fights. He battles. And this is a guy who, if we're really honest, and I hope if Renee's listening in Australia with those beautiful twins, or Joe Ingles' mom and dad are listening somewhere, or Joe's listening, he doesn't get pissed by this comment. Joe Ingles is a 24-minute, really good, 24-minute-a-night player. That his physical body, his skill set, he is playing 33, 28, 31, 27, 35, 27, 24, 26, 36, 36, 27, 26 for the last 10. You don't think he's flipping exhausted? You know why LeBron doesn't get hurt? LeBron doesn't get hurt because his body's better than everybody else's. You don't think that this guy is freaking hammered right now? Playing one through four positions. He's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. But you can look at NBA players, and there are NBA players that look like they're 35-minute. Gordon Hayward looks like a 35-minute-a-night player. Joe Ingles, it does not look that way. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm being unfair. But Joe Ingles, in my book, when I've looked at the NBA in the 25 years or whatever it has been I've been in this league, he's a 25-minute-a-night player. And when you ask a 25-minute-a-night player to play 35 minutes a night, you get diminishing returns. And this guy is battling through it at an incredible rate. He played 36 minutes against LeBron James, and then stunningly, in the next four games went 3 of 16 from 3. Oh, gosh, I can't imagine why. Why would it be possible that he went 3 of 16 from 3 after going up against LeBron James for 36 minutes? Right? So what's he done since then? Since then, the last five games, Joe Ingles is shooting 60% from 3. While playing 31 minutes a night. It's awesome. These guys, the burden upon these guys and what they've done this year and how they've woken up every morning, not, as Quinn says, not knowing who their teammates are going to be that day and put it out there is so admirable. And to Shelvin Mack and Jeff Withey, how they have gone out and played and despite sitting for extended periods of time. And Jeff was not happy, and Shelvin was not happy, and Shelvin was really pissed he wasn't traded. And now they're winning games for us. It's just incredible. I don't know where this season ends. I now know, everyone's like, oh, I don't wish I knew what this team was. If this team was healthy, they were a 60-win team battling for third in the West. And they've somehow held to fourth, likely to finish fifth. It's incredible. I thought, it's really incredible. All right, there's a bunch of other stuff last night, but I want to talk to you about Murdoch Hyundai. If you're looking for a car, you know I'm a numbers guy. You know I like to analyze things. Well, I did the opposite when it got to cars. I was emotional, and I got fooled. Like if one of my friends said, so what you're telling me is we're all being fooled. Yeah, we're all being fooled. And I would never in my life have driven a Hyundai. The brand didn't move my meter. It didn't do it for me. I've driven Acuras and Audis for the last 20 years of my life, and Toyotas, and I'll be honest, the Hyundai would not have moved my meter. And Blake Murdoch called me, and Adam Chase called me and said, "Hey, we want you to come and meet our family and meet what we do, and then we'd like to have you support our dealership." And I was like, "Wow, okay, well." So they said, but you got to drive the car to understand it. And they were absolutely right. I am just so impressed by the Santa Fe Sport that I'm driving. And what I would tell you is you should sit down and you're looking at a car and compare the warranty you get, compare the mileage you get, compare the details. Every bell, every whistle, every luxury item is in the Hyundai. And then it drives really, really nicely. And then you start getting into that the Elantra is $1,399. And that the Hyundai Santa Fe Sport is $21,000, a little more than $21,000. And you're talking about an elite level car with every bell and whistle you could imagine. And you're getting these at crazy good prices. Right? I mean, crazy, crazy good price. I've got the whole cool safety element to it. And it's been amazing. It's frankly, as I said earlier, may have saved my life one night. I was really sleepy driving home, and it woke me up basically when it told me I was crossing the line. Check it out. If you're looking for a car, don't do what I was. Don't be emotional. Be analytical and look at what you get for your money if you're looking at a Hyundai. And then do it with Murdoch. at 4646 South State Street. The Murdoch family, Murdoch Hyundai, they also have Logan. They also have Lyndon. Blake's done a wonderful job there. I think you'll be really, really impressed. I have said this. I don't want to say it too loud because Blake hears it. He's going to get me on. I have a 14-year-old son who I never, ever thought I would ever buy a new car for in my life. Having driven the car I'm driving right now, the Hyundai Santa Fe Sport, with all of the safety things on it, I think that the likelihood is that I will actually get that car for my son when he turns 16. It's safe. It's reasonably priced. It's got a great warranty. And a new car is not appropriate for a 16-year-old kid, but the safety thing, at least in my opinion, safety thing overrides that. So anyway, check it out. Put it on your list. All right, I thought Quinn Snyder had a hell of a quote last night. I frankly thought Quinn Snyder's postgame last night, he talked to a lot of people. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it coming out of a win. But I thought Quinn Snyder basically came out publicly and said, I want my injured guys to work their ass off to get back. And then he talked about Dante. And he said, everybody's been, so did he shoot well? Did he do this? Did he do that? You get completely turned within yourself. It's really hard to play that way. It's a team game. The more you obsess, even if it's defensively, whatever, it comes from a good place because the kid cares so much. He wants to be good, but it's not the quickest pass. The quickest path is how can I help the team win? You know, I've got Gordon Hayward there, Rudy Gobert there. What can I do to help someone be better? That's what Dante's been doing, and the game just comes to you. He's not going to make every shot. But he hit one for the high quadrant tonight where he turned right into it, and that's what you practice. I continue to be pleased with his development. Quite honestly, I thought, and I don't necessarily think that this comment is, I don't think this is what he meant, but I heard this directed at Trey Lyles. I don't think that's what he meant, but I heard Trey Lyles here. And I think what we've seen with Dante is exactly what Quinn said. Is Dante came back from the injury. It was all about Dante coming back from the injury and how Dante was going to play and how the fifth pick of the draft was going to play. And everything was going on with Dante. And everybody's talking to Dante and Dante, 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 Dante. And Dante became all about Dante. My take on what happened to Trey Lyles this year is he went and saw his former teammate and good friend, Devin Booker, playing freely at 35 minutes a night, shooting every time he got the ball, and I think it derailed him. And frankly, I can find the day I think it derailed him. I think if you look at Trey Lyles' numbers for the first 41 games of the year, 42 games of the year, he wasn't great, but he was having a decent year. He was averaging 8 points a game and 4 rebounds and an assist, and he was shooting 40% from the field and 34% from three. He wasn't great. He had just hit the skids a little bit. Okay? In the two previous games we had won, he was 3 of 10 and 0 of 6 from three. But if you kind of if I wanted to fix the numbers a little bit, I go the 40 games, he's at 41%, 35% from three. He's shooting over 50% of his shots from three, so his effective field goal percentage is not great, but it's not bad. He's averaging 9 points, 4 rebounds. His progression at this point is just fine. We go to Phoenix, and he plays 5 minutes. Devin Booker that night plays 46 minutes, scores 25 points, and has the run of the game. He just can do whatever he wants. There's no ramifications of playing badly. He can do whatever he wants. Jazz win 106-101, but winning's not important to Phoenix. 5 nights earlier, we were in Minnesota, and Trey Lyles saw his other best friend, Karl Anthony Towns, play 40 minutes, have 18 points, 15 rebounds, and Trey Lyles in that game got to play a little. He looked okay. And from that moment on in Phoenix, Trey Lyles has not been the same, in my opinion. Since that day, Trey Lyles is shooting 25% from the field, 25% from three, and averaging 3 points a game. And what I think happened is Trey Lyles did all these things right here that Quinn Snyder is talking about. The more you, he said, you get, everybody's so, did you shoot well? Did you do this? Did you do that? So you get completely turned inward within yourself, and it's hard to play that way. It's a team game. The more you obsess, even if it's defensively, it comes from a good place because the kid cares so much. He wants to be good, but it's not the quickest pass. The quickest pass is how can I help the team win? And you know, I've got Gordon Hayward there, Rudy Gobert there. What can I do to help someone be better? Trey Lyles that day in Phoenix became completely, in my opinion, what happens all the time, worried about his progression, who he is, where he's going, not connected to the team, and that's what has led to his fade this year. He'll get over it. He's got to understand how he's going to be successful in the league. I think he still thinks he's Devin Booker or Carl Anthony Towns, and maybe he is, but he's not going to be on a team that wins this many games. And it's too bad. But that, to me, is the dividing line in Trey Lyles' season. And I thought that comment last night from Quinn Snyder, I don't know if it was directed to him. That would probably be the wrong thing to say. Match Trey Lyles. But Trey Lyles, since that day, has shot 25% from the field and 25% from three. And I remember it, thought it at the time, and now he's not a rotation player. Dante, we can go back and try to figure out where it was things changed. I think it's when we got Dante off the ball. And he looks good now. I mean, he's a one-foot jumper, which he didn't used to be. He used to be a two-foot jumper, which you can't live on this league as a two-foot jumper as an athlete. You just aren't an athlete. You can live. You just are not an athlete. Here's the really cool one on Dante. We've been positive with Dante on the floor like every single game since March 6th. I think he's positive in 13 of the last 14 games when he's on the floor. But Dante's really, you know, if you go back since March 1, Dante is shooting 45% from the field, 37% from three. He's averaging 7 points, two rebounds, and two assists. Probably as a two, not as a one. We're going to have to kind of wrap our arms around that, figure out what that means. Back it up even a little bit more. Just remember we talked about this 1,000 times on the show. We talked about ACL kids after the All-Star break. 44%, 36% from three, 77% from the line, 7 points, two rebounds, two assists. Looks good. Looks really good. Been some problems in there, some really bad point guard moments, but when he gets him off the ball, he looks good. That's what I had today. Oh, I thought Quinn had another thing. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I thought that was really good. He talked about just health, playing well, seeding home court. It's cool, guys. Hope you're enjoying it. Really, really hope you're enjoying it. Thanks to Murdoch Hyundai. Blake and the Murdoch family, and check out the Hyundai. Go test drive one today. If you're bored, go test drive a Hyundai. Tell me what you think. 100,000-mile warranty, limited warranty on Hyundais. Nobody else does that. So check it out, and you'll find out when you drive around. You'll suddenly go look around. See how many Hyundais you see. You'll suddenly find out why everybody else is driving one as well. Have a good day. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Nate Duncan, Locked On NBA, should be posted at some point today. Have a great one. Bye.